the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the social aspect of fasting.
Oh Ramadan, Mother Mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, Mother Mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
Today, Thursday, is the 26th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Ordibehesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran. This is chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 35 to 38.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يرسل عليكما شواظ من نار ونحاس فلا تنتصران.
There will be sent upon you a flame of fire and smoke, and you will not defend yourselves.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ.
And when the heaven is split open and becomes rose-colored like oil.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Resuming the account of the preceding blessed verses regarding some of the incidents that shall occur on the day of resurrection. The blessed verse 37 treat to further depictions of the scenes of resurrection and the manner of attending to records and divine recompense. Thus the blessed is saying that when the heaven is rent asunder and turns rosy like molten oil, horrible incidents shall occur such that no one may bear them. All the blessed Quranic verses concerning resurrection clearly reflect that the present order of the world shall be disturbed on that day, and very horribly, incidents shall occur throughout the world. Speaking about social aspect of fasting, be with us. Ramadan fasting encompasses direction to develop spiritual, moral, and social values. It is the message of equality amongst the individuals of the society. The poor are given attention and benefit from charity and the faithful practice of the concept of neighborhood and hospitality. Apart from helping to achieve purity of body and soul through this process of self-purification, addressing these areas of social significance is bound to help people shed all those things which are not socially desirable. The practice of the concept of neighborhood is equally important. The neighborhood concept ultimately extends to the world and beyond. Muslims cannot consume alcohol and use smoke in any form during the month of Ramadan. Those people who are addicted to such habits, it is the best time for them to quit these habits, which are spoiling their health and wasting their money, which they are restraining themselves from these habits for 1 month. They should continue to do so for the rest of their life. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-sa'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about the Social effects of fasting. When everybody is expected to endure and to accept, to admit the pressures of thirst and hunger throughout the daytime, at times, especially by the end of daytime, I mean, as we approach the evening, the dusk, everybody experiences the pressure of thirst or the pressure of hunger. In this connection, we may sense what the poor people experience in their lives. Now we find that other aspects of the Ramadan observances include paying alms to the needy people, being attentive to them, and spreading the tables of iftar for everybody. The least degree is, I mean, giving iftar receptions to our relatives and to our, for example, neighbors and relatives. And the best type of giving reception of iftar, I mean, throughout Ramadan, I mean, in the evening, at dusk, of course, is, spreading the tables of iftar, the iftar tables for everybody. I mean, for the poor and for the rich. I mean, for acquaintances and for the strangers and so on. In this connection, we find that the social aspects or the social benefits of the month Ramadan has been very clear, such that many police authorities indicated that throughout the month Ramadan, the rate of crimes come down quite considerably. And this is one of the aspects of the month Ramadan and observing this religious duty. Thank you.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind. Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
From social benefits of fasting in Ramadan, we reach to strengthening social ties. It is recommended for Muslims to offer iftar, that is the meal for breaking fasting after the sunset for other Muslims. Prophet Muhammad, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny, says, "Whoever gives iftar to one who is fasting will have a reward like his, without that detracting from the fasting person's reward in the slightest." Do not forget to contact your relatives and friends to wish them a happy Ramadan. Fasting ensures the unity and harmony of society. This is another social effect of the month of Ramadan. Fasting leads to a positive challenge in the attitudes of the believers towards each other. The scene of empathy is invoked, helps the faster understand other people better and make it easier for them to make friends and socialize. The usual activities of Ramadan that are common to all believers, such as fasting during the same month, waiting for the time to break the fast in the evening, congregational prayers observed in the mosque, and getting up at night to have the pre-dawn meal, sahur, before beginning the fast, all foster the brotherhood and affection among the believers. In particular, the night of power and Eid celebration at the end of Ramadan strengthen the social ties among believers. Allah's Messenger, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his family, says, "The similitude of believers in regard to mutual love, affection, and fellow feeling is that of one body. When any limb aches, the whole body aches because of sleeplessness and fever. Therefore, believers feel themselves to be the limbs of one body, and this feeling strengthens the solidarity and friendship in the community.
We have to come towards the ibadah. We have to strengthen our ibadah. Teach yourself. Train ourselves to get into the ibadah, to feel the ibadah. And I will end with this hadith, hadith Qudsi, where Allah says, كَذَبَ مَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّنِي وَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ نَامَ عَنِّي. He's a liar, the one who claims that he loves me, but once the night falls, he goes and he falls asleep. Don't you want to spend your nights with the ones that you love? So my dear brothers and sisters, these are some ways that we can take advantage of this holy month, the month of Ramadan. And if we implement these, if we take advantage of the month of Ramadan, we will be much better on the day of Eid. We will have purified our souls and purified our hearts and made ourselves ready to experience the difficulties and the challenges of life ahead of us.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Please keep us in your prayers and du'as. And there is nothing else, just fi amanillah.
القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن.
Food for thought. Hello everyone, let us ponder on the words of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, regarding his divinely decreed vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Nobody properly knows Allah except me and Ali. Nobody properly knows me except Allah and Ali. Nobody properly knows Ali except Allah and me.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful tradition, which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And this hadith is about the dangers of making worldly affairs one's greatest concern. As you know, we're in the month of Ramadan, and the month of Ramadan is a very spiritual and holy month where we have been given the great opportunity to turn towards God and to increase our spirituality. At the same time, we know that this is not possible unless we detach ourselves from this world, this dunya. And in this tradition, in this hadith, the Imam mentions some of the dangers about making worldly affairs one's greatest concern. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "The person who wakes up in the morning and retires at night, having worldly affairs as his greatest concern, Allah places poverty between his eyes." So a person whose only concern and his sole concern is this world will find that, you know, this has contrary results than the results he is seeking out. Meaning the person who makes worldly affairs his sole concern, obviously the purpose that he does this for is that he is under the assumption that by concentrating on the world, focusing on it, making it his sole, you know, concern and purpose in life, he's going to perhaps increase the chances of his becoming successful in this world and achieving those worldly concerns and affairs that he has. But actually, the truth is that this way of approaching worldly success and worldly gains has a contrary result than what this person assumes, meaning it turns around and makes this person poor and impoverished. In continuation, the Imam says, "It scatters his affairs, and he will not take from this world except for what Allah has apportioned for him." Meaning Allah Ta'ala has apportioned and written down for him what he's going to attain in this world. It doesn't matter how much he seeks the world and makes it his concern or not. What Allah has apportioned for him, he will attain it. "As for the one who wakes up in the morning and retires," the Imam says, "at night, having the hereafter as his greatest concern, Allah places needlessness in his heart." and brings together his affairs for him. So the person who forgets the world and leaves his affairs to Allah, Allah, helps him resolve his worldly problems and brings him success in this world and in the hereafter. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the danger of making worldly affairs one's greatest concern in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Let's Read and Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us. May inshallah Allah Almighty grant everyone a blazing, healthy and long life inshallah. So I really say that to all of you, may Allah accept all your prayers, your du'as. Inshallah Allah Almighty grant us all with the reward of Jannah, inshallah. All right?
Yes.
So, Brother Minhal Hussein, salam alaikum. Mahdi al Husseinan, salam.
Salam.
How are you?
Good.
Are you good?
Yes, I'm good.
How much good?
Good.
Nope. Too much good?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
How about Muhammad Hadi? Sayyid Muhammad Hadi. Are you good?
Naqawi. Yes, I'm good.
Okay, the answer of how are you is not Naqawi. Good. How about Muhammad Yahya?
Sayyid Muhammad
Yahya.
I'm good, thanks.
So, thank you so much for joining us. Inshallah, today we are going to continue our lessons also and trying to learn some new rules, some new tips on how to read and recite the Holy Quran. Welcome back, respected brothers and sisters. Thanks for joining us. Let's continue, inshallah, towards our topic, which was silent letters. The letters which are written in the Quranic words but not pronounced. One of the letters was Aleph, which is silent, yes?
Yeah.
So, Zahabu, when you see the plural verb for men, okay? Plural form for male, not female, okay? Because for female, it's not with this form. It is Zahaba, Zahaba, Zahabu for male. Zahabat, Zahabata, Zahabna. Zahabna is for ladies.
Yeah.
But Zahabu, so here, after waw in the Quran Kareem and also everywhere in the books, okay, there is an alif written.
Yeah,
after that waw, the plural waw. There is one alif. It becomes like this. Zahabu alif.
Yeah, can I say what? It's like for
Zahabu.
A bit long. Yes. Make it longer instead of adding it.
No.
Because if you add the alif maksura, that will be sakin.
No.
The alif will be not.
If we want to prolong the sound, the waw tells us to prolong the sound, not the alif. Okay? Alif is here written, but it's silent. Why? What is the reason for the alif? For the existence of alif here, Mahdi? It is just for this, not to like make mistake for between the waw of the plural form and the waw in another verbs, and words. It's just for this, okay? Some scholars say, okay, that this alif is just for beauty. Yeah, okay? So, like, if it's written ذهبو without alif, it doesn't
but
look
still looking
well,
right.
Okay? It doesn't look fashionable. So, if it is alif there,
they're very dumb.
It looks more fashionable.
So, right, now, are we done?
So, ذهبو. So, remember that three cases we learned, alhamdulillah, today. The first case was when waw or ya or alif, any of them, is the seat or chair for the letter Hamza. So in this case, you do not pronounce the letter Alif, Waw, or Ya. You pronounce the letter Hamza. Either it's with Kasra, Fatha, or Dhamma. All right, Minhal?
Yeah, Minhal.
So the next case, the second case was when Ya or Waw becomes an Alif Maddi. Yes? The wa sound or the ya sound will be changed to and you can understand this well by looking at on the top of the wa or ya, you will see a dagger alif, a small baby alif.
Right here.
Still like the word salat, zakat,
zakawat,
or Musa, Isa. Okay?
Not Yahya.
Okay. Yahya is what Yahya.
Yahya means live. Yeah.
So, Minhal Hussein as well.
Hussein.
Yes, Minhal Hussein.
But not me, I have no idea.
Mahdi. Mahdi.
Hada.
Hada.
Hadi.
Hada.
Okay. And the third case was with the plural waw. The plural waw. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ. Let's recite the Quran. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Are you ready to go and recite some verses of the Holy Quran?
Yes, I'm ready.
First, go by group.
Me.
Let's recite a salawat then.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Okay, let's make our Imam happy. Imam Ali alayhi salam, and also Imam Mahdi, anjala Allah ta'ala farajuhu sharif, with a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajuhu.
Okay, respected brothers and sisters, we are on page 10 of the Holy Quran, ayah 62 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Inna alladhina amanu.
So can I start, please?
Let's do it with the same.
So can I start with the first ayah?
No. Let's recite some ayahs together.
No. Not together.
I mean, repeat after me.
Each one their own ayah.
No. Group by group.
Repeat after me some ayahs.
No.
So just one ayah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Battery low, yes?
No.
It's full.
The phone is going to read. You want to read the ayah by ayah.
It's month of Ramadan
yourself.
And you're fasting. Each ayah that you recite, Allah Almighty will reward you thousand times.
Okay, let us recite.
Until here.
But if you recite after me, you will get more reward.
No.
Yes, my
we will learn.
Yes, we are doing group by group.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Apply the rules.
The things we have learned, apply them. Auzu, no auzu. The thing is always on here, okay? Auzu. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
If you do not recite correctly, I will not give you the chance to read.
Okay. No, we will chance. So we want to read ayah by ayah. We want to read ayah by ayah. Like each person their own ayah to read.
The first ayah?
No! Sir, no, sir, me! I want to read.
Sir, group by group, sir.
Come on, sir, don't waste the time. Group by Our brothers sir. Are waiting there.
Okay, do it. Read.
Group by group, not one by one.
No, one by one.
Come on, read.
Recite it. Correctly.
Okay, actually correctly.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين آمنوا والذين هادوا والنصارى والسبيعين من آمن بالله يوم الآخر وعمل صالحا فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
My turn.
After the class, you should go and meet the doctor, okay?
Yes, he should fix his...
You gotta fix your throat.
Yeah.
Either you change your throat, okay?
This
Hamza and Ha are very, very important. And
so he said, what was sabi'ine?
And also he said, amanu.
Amanu.
Hadu.
So can I read, sir?
Okay, my turn, sir.
Thank you so much. Let's go and find examples and apply the rules. Inna alladhina amanu. Nu. Wow, plural wow, hadi. Plural wow, after plural wow, there is one alif. If you see on the top of alif, we have a sign. There is a sign on the top of alif.
No.
A circle.
No.
Don't you see it, Minhar Hussain?
No.
Amanu on the top of Aleph.
No.
Oh,
yeah, I see.
No.
There is a circle. No. Maybe in your Quran it's not.
Sir, can we just read? Sir, can we just please read?
Sir, let him read. I have number 66.
Shortcut. No.
Only not to hear.
In this case, you just skip.
Quran is shortcut.
In this case, you just skip that Aleph, okay, and you do not read it. But you prolong the sound of U. Okay? Amanu. But remember, okay, if there is after this waw and this alif, if we have alif lam, alif and la, how do you read it? If it was not, if it was like this, Alladhina amanul.
Amanul.
Amanul. You do not prolong the sound of U, yes? We learned this. Amanul. Alif maddi, waw maddi, yai maddi, plus alif lam, you skip that mad, yes?
Yeah, alim.
Okay. Wa nasara, ya is pronounced sabi'ina, e. The chair for Hamza, it's pronounced as Hamza. Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir wa amila salihan falahum ajruhum عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ
Nothing. Next one.
Me.
Read fast.
Mahdi?
Yeah?
Recite, please, the next ayah.
وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ الطُّورَ خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ
That's what is that?
What?
Khudu a little slower. It's slower, I'm saying.
Slower. Also.
No, it's month of Ramadan, okay?
وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ الطُّورَ خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ اذكروا ما فيه لعلكم تتقون
الله ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. فوقكم الطورانو. Join that meme. فوقكم
الطورانو. Oh, yeah, there's a
tour. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much, Mehdi. That was very good. That was very good. Ataynakum. Not Ataynakum. No, okay? Ataynakum.
So now my turn. ثم توليتم من بعد ذا
I'm saying why are you saying zalika? He's repeating this.
فلولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته لكنتم من الخاسرين.
هذه Persian is different with Arabic, the pronunciations.
Yeah.
Yes, so you're reading the Arabic Quran, okay? In Persian style.
Okay, see, we'll see.
We talked about all the pronunciations. All the pronunciations.
ثم توليتم من بعد ذلك فلولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته لكنتم من الخاسرين.
Thank you so much, Muhammad Yahya. Should we recite a salawat for you?
Start.
ولقد علمت الذي
علمتم الذي
Mehdi, his name is Hadi. He is not the guide, okay? The exact guide. Look, he misled you. Alamtumul ladhi.
Miss?
He didn't guide you.
Alim.
Okay, his name is just guide, okay? But he cannot guide. Walaqad
alimtumul ladhina atadu min.
تداو منكم
في السبت فقلنا لهم كونوا قردة خاسرين.
So thank you so much.
Yes.
We will inshallah continue our topic and recitation. Okay. But before we go, let's recite a salawat inshallah and then.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم
اللهم صل على
محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
This is Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, the loyal audience of IRB English Radio, welcome to another episode of Back to Reality. In the realm of truth, we have two very dear guests. Now I want them to introduce themselves to you. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Muzaffar Haider from the UK and I'm studying in the holy city of Qom, alhamdulillah.
Such a pleasure to be with you. So you're studying religion?
Yeah, I'm studying in the Hawza.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Sadiqa from the UK as well. and I'm studying in Qom as well in the Sisters Hawza. And my field of study is Fiqh and Usul. Fiqh and Usul is basically the principles of jurisprudence.
Very great. In today's episode, we're going to have a discussion that circles around the holy month of Ramadan. Now, in some countries, we see that they pass some laws considering drinking or eating in public situations. Personally, what do you think if you were a person who could pass this law? What would have you done? Would you leave it as an optional choice for people to eat or drink in public? Or no, you would say that it must be forbidden. There must be a law that bans eating or drinking in public.
I think that would depend on the ratio of Muslims to non-Muslims in your country. Right. So if you have a majority Christian country, it wouldn't be right to implement such a law. Because
so if the majority are Muslim, what would you do?
If the majority are Muslims, then possibly yes, because that's a form of nahi anil munkar, which is very important to implement in society.
Would you pass that law? Would you make it ban?
As a law, not particularly, because Muslims each have a responsibility to fast. And if they're not fasting, then they could be an exception to the law. And forcing them to do something that is out of their control. Let's say someone is sick. He's on the road, needs to have a medicine right now.
Exactly.
And I come and fine you for drinking water to have your medicine in the middle of the road. While it is out of your control, you need to take that medicine.
Exactly.
Yeah, in those cases, no, I wouldn't pass the law. But every Muslim needs to understand the responsibilities, which is unfortunate that many do not. But as a law, no.
So I think I'm Team Sister Sadiqa. And now you, Brother Muzaffar, well, have to explain to us.
This isn't fair. Sister raised some really good points there. What if they have a medical condition? What if they have, you know, some other issue because of what
you know,
traveling?
In some countries they have this law, I think they have some exceptions. There must be exceptions.
Yeah. What if you can implement the law but then have exceptions too?
Yes.
You know?
Then I would be your team as well.
What about a guy who's just in, he's riding a taxi and he's smoking? He's like, does he have a medical condition where he needs to smoke?
Then what should we do in that condition?
In the month of Ramadan. Because, look, fasting in the month of Ramadan is one of the most important faridahs that we have in Islam. Even secular Muslims will engage in fasting in the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
Right? If we fail as a society to implement even that, that's not good.
I saw a documentary in which a Christian person said that in our country, eating and drinking during the holy month is free. You can do whatever you like. But since we have a respect for Muslim people, we don't do that.
And this is another factor as well. Let's say you have an exception, right? You have a medical condition.
Yes.
Why are you standing in the street and eating a turkey sandwich when everybody else is fasting? There's kids who are fasting.
Which is
they're
a very, very bad situation.
Really badly.
Exactly. Especially because we have some kids who are starting to fast.
Yeah.
You know?
Actually,
they're very young and they have to start.
Yeah, I mean, that's not fair. Look, you're trying to train your 10-year-old kid to fast. Or your 13-year-old. And they're looking at it. Look at that man. He's just scoffing a...
Exactly. A bulky person
he's eating
eating
a
that burger and then
pudding.
That kid is looking at them.
Okay, there's another thing. When it comes to implementing laws, generally speaking, throughout the Islamic Republic and in the future, inshallah, when we establish more Islamic republics in the world, generally speaking, there are laws for public spheres and for private spheres. As far as I know, even in the Islamic Republic of Iran, right, things like alcohol are banned in the public sphere, right? You want loud music and parties, for example, it's banned in the public sphere and you have the right to do nahi anil munkar as a citizen to those people. But if people are doing that secretly in their basements,
in
go
their
ahead,
houses, yes.
Do it because that is, you know, it's still
it
wrong.
It is not our business. It's your business.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that.
Yes, exactly.
The problem with secular, predominantly Western societies is that those same gunas, those same haram acts are taking place and being endorsed publicly. That's really what Islam has an issue with.
So right now, let's go for a little break and we'll be back after just a short interval. Thank you for listening, us.
د
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
There was a companion of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and he broke into somebody's house to catch them drinking alcohol in their house. And he said, "You shouldn't be drinking alcohol." And the guy pointed the finger back and he said, "All right, I'm drinking alcohol, but you've just broken more rules of Islam."
Exactly.
First of all, Islam says that you should enter through the front door. You entered through the back. Secondly, exactly. You entered without my permission.
We got the point.
The idea is this, that publicly these sins should not be done. And I think if we have the power to implement laws which will prevent that thing from taking place in the public, we should, shouldn't we?
You know, that all comes with what sister said. Every single person in this society is responsible. If I consider that as my duty to do whatever I have to do truly, then there would be no problem. And as you said, the problem is with doing those things in public. Now, if you want to do that at your home or any place that is going to be secret, it's no problem. It's not at least our problem.
Yeah.
But when you do it in public, then it turns to be a problem. Now, sister, I would ask you a question. How should we react against these people?
You see, first, when it comes down to the public sphere, we need to understand that this is a personal point, right? I'm not going to base it on religious rulings. It's a very personal point that the more we impose on societies these sort of laws in the general society, we get people who are very rebellious.
Exactly.
What we need to start off is with educating the people about different laws.
And it will cause some tensions, unnecessary tensions.
Unnecessary tensions. And as well, if a person is educated about a specific law, why it has come in place, why Islam discourages people from eating in public in the month of Ramadan, educating would have much more of a better effect.
But do you think that would do some good, educating?
Yes, because the intellect is more powerful than our shahwa. It's more powerful than our desire. Sometimes people eat in a public environment because they do not understand the importance of the month of Ramadan. They did not understand the importance of fasting. They did not understand the importance of allowing others to fast.
Or if they know, they just have a problem and they are rebellious people.
That comes from their rebellious nature. And if they do it just to spite people, unfortunately, we can't really do much about that.
Yes, exactly.
But not everyone is out there to spite others. People just do not understand. They just want to go with the flow, with the status quo. If we understand where they are coming from, if we start educating our communities from a very young age, not when they're 50, 60 years old, educate them from a very young age,
very young.
We can progress in how religious rulings are seen in a much more positive light, rather than I'm going to fine you or I'm going to get you into jail because you just had a turkey sandwich in the street.
So now we educated them. We did all we could do to nurture them in order to be responsible and show that responsibility in public. But still, we see some people who do that. How would you react against them when you see them?
If I'm in power?
No, you're not in power. As a person, normal, common person.
I don't know. Just probably frown at them and walk off. And you're like, you know, you shouldn't be doing
so
that.
So we can't do much, technically.
No, yeah, عين المنكر, it takes many shapes and forms, right? If at the very least, you can show that you're not happy with that act. I don't know.
Yeah, yes,
it depends
on
the situation.
Just the facial impressions.
If it's a sister in the street and her hijab isn't good, for example, I'd prefer just not to get involved at all. You know, but if it's a brother and he's in the month of Ramadan and he's doing something, you know, eating or something, then maybe I'd do something. And I do believe that a lot of these issues do come down to the implementers of the laws, especially in an Islamic country. Educating people is good. And yeah, that's the primary option. And that's that's the ideal state that we want to reach. But 99% of people are, you know, they won't be educated. Maybe 99 is a little bit steep, but the majority of people, you know, أكثرهم لا يعلمون, most of them don't know, right? And that's just the nature of human beings. I believe that we give human beings a lot of the benefit of the doubt. Even in non-Muslim countries, if we see that people are behaving in a certain way and it appears civilized, we should recognize that actually if a lot of the laws were removed, those same people would turn into the worst kind of animals. You know, there's a reason why the Ten Commandments, you know, one of the first laws is thou shalt not kill. Mm-hmm. It's natural to assume that human beings should know this without having to be told that killing somebody else is bad. But no, human beings are such. Laws have to be implemented to control society. Otherwise, everything would just go haywire.
Now, brother, you were talking that if you see some negative behavior in the society, you would just prefer not to get involved with those people. Now, I have a question from you. Do you prefer to have some authorities, to have some stronger, some people in power to interfere? Do you think that there must be some people like that in society in which ask people not to do such things?
Yeah, there should be. There should be a kind of organized force which has the power of government behind them, which will go into society and stop certain evils from taking place. It's a very natural phenomenon, actually. I'll give you an example from the West. It has become law that teachers have to teach children under the age of six, right? So 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds. About absolutely obscene things that I can't even mention here to do with reproductive organs of human beings and stuff, right? Now, I don't want my child to be educated in that way, for example, right? Now, if I choose to pull my child out of those classes, there is a likelihood that I will actually be punished for that and the child could be taken out of my custody, right? So this is the way that the taghut and the evildoers have implemented a system whereby evil is actually promoted and enforced upon society. The general population is helpless in the face of this. This is the way that governments work. Now, if you have the government in your power as a Muslim, you have to do the same thing, but like in terms of enforcing, but what you enforce should be good rather than evil, right? So this idea of enforcing the certain things, you know, when we look at the verse La ikraha fid-deen, right, there is no compulsion in religion, we think that that's just a blanket statement and therefore everybody is free to do whatever they want in the sense that, you know, society can choose for themselves what is right and what is wrong. That's not the case. If we look before that and after that, Allah himself gives us the context. He says, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ. Surely...
So you know the truth.
Right.
You know
what?